Задание по аудированию. Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит 2 раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела аудирования перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего A, F и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только 1 раз. В задании есть 1 лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись 2. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием. Now we're ready to start.
Speaker A.
I have a huge extended family, and it's been our tradition for as long as I can remember to have family reunions on the 4th of July, the day of independence. My grandmother lives on a ranch in Texas and has an enormous house. There's place for everyone to spend a couple of nights during the long weekend. But honestly, I've never liked these family reunions because when so many of us come together, there are always quarrels, hurt feelings, old fights. This makes the holiday atmosphere tense.
Speaker B.
I love planning family celebrations. It's been my hobby all my life. Decorating the house, cooking favorite dishes, choosing special gifts that I know my family members will love, because throughout the year, I always listen attentively to their casual phrases about things they need or would like to have. Every birthday is a masterpiece. My husband keeps telling me I should start doing it professionally and find a job as an event planner. Well, maybe someday. I know I would be the best on the market.
Speaker C.
My favorite holiday is Christmas. I love it even more than my own birthday because it's magical. I always write a letter to Santa Claus in advance and leave him cookies and milk on Christmas Eve. And he always comes and brings me gifts. When I wake up on Christmas Day, I first check if he's eaten my cookies. He always does. The only thing I don't understand is how he gets inside our house, since we don't have a fireplace with a chimney. But I guess magic is magic, isn't it?
Speaker D.
I hate Christmas. Don't get me wrong, I like the idea and atmosphere, but man, I hate buying all the gifts. I never know what to buy. Spending time in shops makes me depressed. I feel I'm just wasting my time. I will never be able to guess what people would really like to get as a gift. I know, it's the thought that counts. But I always dread the disappointed expressions on the faces of my family members when they open their gifts. And don't even get me started on the topic of wrapping them.
Speaker E.
I think a birthday is a very private holiday. It's one day in a year I enjoy spending with myself. I can't understand people who make their date of birth public on social media, and then all their virtual friends start sending them silly pictures of flowers and wishing them a happy birthday. I think most of them are so fake. On my birthday, I turn off my phone completely and do something special, like going to a concert or buying something I've been saving money on during the year. The rest of the world can wait.
Speaker F.
When I see what kinds of gifts modern parents buy for their kids, I feel so disgusted. I'm probably too old, but all these gadgets that cost a fortune, is this something to give your child every holiday? That's spoiling them rotten. I remember how excited my siblings and I were to get the simple toys that my parents could afford to get us. Some of those toys were handmade. And guess what? Some of them I still have, even though I'm 80. How many of those gadgets will modern kids keep till they are 80?
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again.
Speaker A.
I have a huge extended family, and it's been our tradition for as long as I can remember to have family reunions on the 4th of July, the Day of Independence. My grandmother lives on a ranch in Texas and has an enormous house. There's place for everyone to spend a couple of nights during the long weekend. But honestly, I've never liked these family reunions because when so many of us come together, there are always quarrels, hurt feelings, old fights. This makes the holiday atmosphere tense.
Speaker B.
I love planning family celebrations. It's been my hobby all my life. Decorating the house, cooking favorite dishes, choosing special gifts that I know my family members will love. Because throughout the year, I always listen attentively to their casual phrases about things they need or would like to have. Every birthday is a masterpiece. My husband keeps telling me I should start doing it professionally and find a job as an event planner. Well, maybe someday. I know I would be the best on the market.
Speaker C.
My favorite holiday is Christmas. I love it even more than my own birthday because it's magical. I always write a letter to Santa Claus in advance and leave him cookies and milk on Christmas Eve. And he always comes and brings me gifts. When I wake up on Christmas Day, I first check if he's eaten my cookies. He always does. The only thing I don't understand is how he gets inside our house, since we don't have a fireplace with a chimney. But I guess magic is magic, isn't it?
Speaker D.
I hate Christmas. Don't get me wrong, I like the idea and atmosphere, but man, I hate buying all the gifts. I never know what to buy. Spending time in shops makes me depressed. I feel I'm just wasting my time. I will never be able to guess what people would really like to get as a gift. I know, it's the thought that counts, but I always dread the disappointed expressions on the faces of my family members when they open their gifts. And don't even get me started on the topic of wrapping them.
Speaker E.
I think a birthday is a very private holiday. It's one day in a year I enjoy spending with myself. I can't understand people who make their date of birth public on social media, and then all their virtual friends start sending them silly pictures of flowers and wishing them a happy birthday. I think most of them are so fake. On my birthday, I turn off my phone completely and do something special, like going to a concert or buying something I've been saving money on during the year. The rest of the world can wait.
Speaker F.
When I see what kinds of gifts modern parents buy for their kids, I feel so disgusted. I'm probably too old. But all these gadgets that cost a fortune, is this something to give your child every holiday? That's spoiling them rotten. I remember how excited my siblings and I were to get the simple toys that my parents could afford to get us. Some of those toys were handmade, and guess what? Some of them I still have, even though I'm 80. How many of those gadgets will modern kids keep till they are 80?
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста 1. True, какие не соответствуют 2. False и о чем в тексте не сказано. То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием. Now we are ready to start.
Hi, Linda. Welcome back to campus after the spring break. That's an old notebook you are reading.
Hi, Derek. Yeah, it's really old.
Are you okay, Linda? You look kind of strange.
No, I'm fine. It's just that I'm sort of shocked.
What's the matter?
See this notebook? I visited my grandma over the spring break. We talked about so many different things. I really enjoyed the visit. Then, the morning I was leaving, back for the university, she gave me this notebook and said that it belonged to her grandmother. She wanted me to read it.
Wow. So what is it?
It's her diary. She kept it when she was 19, exactly my age, only it was during the Roaring Twenties.
No way! The 1920s? That's incredible.
I know. I was just reading about how she went to a concert where George Gershwin performed, and she describes every detail and calls him a rising star.
No kidding. George Gershwin? The Summertime, George Gershwin? The Porgy and Bess, George Gershwin?
Yep, the very same.
Wow, what a coincidence. I'm writing a paper on George Gershwin and his music. Do you think you could...
make a copy of my great-great-grandmother's diary page where she writes about him? Yes, I guess I could.
That would be invaluable. I mean, there are articles about him and his music in the old newspapers, but they are written by critics. This is something different. A first-person testimony by somebody like you and me.
I know. I'll make a photocopy and send it to you.
Thanks.
How are your studies coming along, by the way? Will there be any concerts this term?
Yes, several. My piano professor is really good about organizing them. One of them will be this coming Saturday in the Student Center. Would you like to come? It's free.
I sure would. What will it be?
In the beginning, there will be a string quartet playing some Vivaldi. Then I will do a piano solo playing several short pieces by Mozart. And in the end, there will be vocal music, songs from different musicals, including some by George Gershwin.
Will you be playing the piano when they sing?
Yes. I will do the accompaniment.
Fantastic. What time does the concert begin?
4 p.m.
I will definitely come and bring some of my friends.
Great. See you there.
See you.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you'll hear the text again.
Hi, Linda. Welcome back to campus after the spring break. That's an old notebook you are reading.
Hi, Derek. Yeah, it's really old.
Are you okay, Linda? You look kind of strange.
No, I'm fine. It's just that I'm sort of shocked.
What's the matter?
See this notebook? I visited my grandma over the spring break. We talked about so many different things. I really enjoyed the visit. Then, the morning I was leaving, back for the university, she gave me this notebook and said that it belonged to her grandmother. She wanted me to read it.
Wow. So what is it?
It's her diary. She kept it when she was 19, exactly my age, only it was during the Roaring Twenties.
No way! The 1920s? That's incredible.
I know. I was just reading about how she went to a concert where George Gershwin performed, and she describes every detail and calls him a rising star.
No kidding. George Gershwin? The Summertime, George Gershwin? The Porgy and Bess, George Gershwin?
Yep, the very same.
Wow, what a coincidence. I'm writing a paper on George Gershwin and his music. Do you think you could...
make a copy of my great-great-grandmother's diary page where she writes about him? Yes, I guess I could.
That would be invaluable. I mean, there are articles about him and his music in the old newspapers, but they are written by critics. This is something different. A first-person testimony by somebody like you and me.
I know. I'll make a photocopy and send it to you.
Thanks.
How are your studies coming along, by the way? Will there be any concerts this term?
Yes, several. My piano professor is really good about organizing them. One of them will be this coming Saturday in the Student Center. Would you like to come? It's free.
I sure would. What will it be?
In the beginning, there will be a string quartet playing some Vivaldi. Then I will do a piano solo playing several short pieces by Mozart. And in the end, there will be vocal music, songs from different musicals, including some by George Gershwin.
Will you be playing the piano when they sing?
Yes. I will do the accompaniment.
Fantastic. What time does the concert begin?
4 p.m.
I will definitely come and bring some of my friends.
Great. See you there.
See you.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранными вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями. Now we are ready to start.
This is Close to Nature. Hello and welcome. In our studio today is Robin Black, a professor of biology at the University of Iowa and the founder of the Center for Native Peoples and the Environment, who has recently published a book, Trees Can Talk. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
So the obvious question is, can trees really talk? Can they have actual conversations like people?
That mindset, comparing trees to people, is exactly the problem. In our Native American stories, trees talk to each other. But science has long decided that this is impossible, because plants lack the mechanism that animals and humans use to speak. Since they cannot form words or make sounds, it has been decided that any form of communication is out of the question.
Which is not true?
Not in the least. But it is only recently that scientists have explored the possibility that trees can speak. One theory is that they communicate via special substances called pheromones that are carried by the wind from one tree to another, full of meaning.
This is getting complicated. Could you provide an example?
Sure. Let's say one tree is being attacked by insects and is under severe stress. The tree sends out a distress call.
No kidding. Like a tree version of an SOS?
Something like that. So it starts producing this specific kind of pheromone that warns the other trees of the insect threat. This gives the other trees enough time to produce defensive chemicals. Wouldn't you call that communication?
That's incredible. But is it only in an emergency that they talk like this?
Far from that. Actually, trees talking could explain something that scientists couldn't understand for years. Do you know what mast fruiting is?
Mast? As in M-A-S-T? Mast fruiting? No, never heard of it.
Well, unlike fruit trees, which produce fruit every season on a predictable schedule, there are some plants, like nut trees, that produce fruit at completely unpredictable intervals.
Oh, This I have heard and actually experienced. I grew up on a farm where we had lots of pecan trees, but we could never tell if they would bear nuts the approaching year. And I loved them so much. My father used to tell me that it all depended on how I behaved throughout the year. I still think that was mean, but it worked. I tried as hard as I could helping him around the farm.
Honestly, that's as good a theory as any. Like I said, scientists have puzzled over this for years. It makes no sense. Years of no nuts, and then, out of the blue, every pecan tree across the country bears nuts at the same time. One theory has always been that because nuts are so high in calories, it takes years of storing up sugar for the tree to produce them. But if this were true, each tree would produce nuts on its own schedule, predictable by its condition, age, as well as the habitat and the weather. However, this doesn't happen. If one tree fruits, they all do. There are no individuals. They act as a collective.
How did they do that?
Again, through a sort of communication. Only this time, not through the air, but underground.
Underground communication? That sounds like a conspiracy theory.
Not when you hear the explanation. All the trees in the forest are connected by their roots. These root networks redistribute the wealth of sugar from one tree to the other. A kind of Robin Hood. They take from the rich and give to the poor, so that all the trees are ready to produce nuts at the same time.
But why would they do it?
Through unity, they survive. All flourishing is mutual.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
This is Close to Nature. Hello and welcome. In our studio today is Robin Black, a professor of biology at the University of Iowa and the founder of the Center for Native Peoples and the Environment, who has recently published a book, Trees Can Talk. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
So the obvious question is, can trees really talk? Can they have actual conversations like people?
That mindset, comparing trees to people, is exactly the problem. In our Native American stories, trees talk to each other. But science has long decided that this is impossible, because plants lack the mechanism that animals and humans use to speak. Since they cannot form words or make sounds, it has been decided that any form of communication is out of the question.
Which is not true?
Not in the least. But it is only recently that scientists have explored the possibility that trees can speak. One theory is that they communicate via special substances called pheromones that are carried by the wind from one tree to another, full of meaning.
This is getting complicated. Could you provide an example?
Sure. Let's say one tree is being attacked by insects and is under severe stress. The tree sends out a distress call.
No kidding. Like a tree version of an SOS?
Something like that. So it starts producing this specific kind of pheromone that warns the other trees of the insect threat. This gives the other trees enough time to produce defensive chemicals. Wouldn't you call that communication?
That's incredible. But is it only in an emergency that they talk like this?
Far from that. Actually, trees talking could explain something that scientists couldn't understand for years. Do you know what mast fruiting is?
Mast? As in M-A-S-T? Mast fruiting? No, never heard of it.
Well, unlike fruit trees, which produce fruit every season on a predictable schedule, there are some plants, like nut trees, that produce fruit at completely unpredictable intervals.
Oh, this I have heard and actually experienced. I grew up on a farm where we had lots of pecan trees, but we could never tell if they would bear nuts the approaching year. And I loved them so much. My father used to tell me that it all depended on how I behaved throughout the year. I still think that was mean, but it worked. I tried as hard as I could helping him around the farm.
Honestly, that's as good a theory as any. Like I said, scientists have puzzled over this for years. It makes no sense. Years of no nuts, and then, out of the blue, every pecan tree across the country bears nuts at the same time. One theory has always been that because nuts are so high in calories, it takes years of storing up sugar for the tree to produce them. But if this were true, each tree would produce nuts on its own schedule, predictable by its condition, age, as well as the habitat and the weather. However, this doesn't happen. If one tree fruits, they all do. There are no individuals. They act as a collective.
How did they do that?
Again, through a sort of communication, only this time not through the air, but underground.
Underground communication? That sounds like a conspiracy theory.
Not when you hear the explanation. All the trees in the forests are connected by their roots. These root networks redistribute the wealth of sugar from one tree to the other. A kind of Robin Hood. They take from the rich and give to the poor, so that all the trees are ready to produce nuts at the same time.
But why would they do it?
Through unity, they survive. All flourishing is mutual.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test. Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.